return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. So he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that at times we have not bore fruit as you have desired of us. We have not had faith. So we ask, Lord, that you would send your word and your grace to forgive us, to help us to repent, so that indeed we may know your kingdom here on earth and in the age to come. In your name we pray. Amen. When I was at a seminary at Claremont School of Theology, I was very blessed to have a professor named Rosemary Radford Ruther. And she was a historical theologian. She just knew history of the world inside and out. And we had a whole lesson on St. Patrick and the Christianization of Ireland. And she was particularly knowledgeable about that, and I'll never forget the lectures. I mean, I forget some of the words she said, but just that experience. Many people have a sort of spiritual connection to Celtic spirituality. Many people will travel to Ireland and to see the Celtic, you know, locations that really sort of draw people in. We think about the Celtic cross with the circle that is very powerful for many. And among the Celts, there was a feeling of the existence of places called thin places. They were places on earth, usually natural places, mountaintops, where the separation between us and heaven was very thin. And you could feel the presence of the divine close at hand. Thin places. Sometimes in our lives, we walk into thin places where we can really palpably feel the presence of the divine. That's very much the case with our readings this morning. Ironically, our readings this morning deal a lot with suffering. Suffering, whether or not it's the result of our own actions, our own sin that leads to our suffering, or for other reasons. Take, for example, our second reading from Corinthians. Thank you, Anelia, for reading. Paul talks about their spiritual ancestors, the Hebrew people, and he says, I don't want you to be unaware that God was with them, Christ was with them through everything, in the cloud, walking through the sea, that was like being baptized, eating manna in the wilderness, that was like receiving communion. God's grace was unequivocally poured out. And then Paul goes on to remind us of those difficult moments in their sojourning in the wilderness, like when 23,000 fell in a single day. Paul says that that was a consequence of sin, and it was a reminder and a lesson for us of what to avoid. Sins to avoid that lead to destruction. And it really makes us wonder, well, what were those? I mean, he's not really specific. He has this very confusing thing that says, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. And as you read that, you kind of think, well, what's wrong with that? Don't we sit down to eat and drink and rise up to play? But he's alluding to some more problematic behaviors that they had. They were quarreling. They were infighting. The people weren't getting along one with another. There were conflicts among the tribes, and there was a rejection of God's leadership of the people. And the warning that Paul gives is that when we are torn apart by conflict, the results can be deadly. The results of conflict and violence lead to much more death. You know, one of the things that's interesting about being a spiritual person, you know, because we are spiritual, we are bodies and souls, is in the moment we can feel one way, but then when we look back, we can have a totally different perspective. I'll give you an example. You know, sometimes in the moment we might feel absolutely terrible, but when we look back, we think, oh gosh, that was a great time in my life. I remember traveling to Thailand. We had a good friend that went over there through the Lutheran Church as a missionary, a young adult missionary, and she taught English at a Christian school in Thailand. And Sherry and I saved up our dollars, and we flew to Thailand. And I had never experienced jet lag like that. I mean, it was terrible. Imagine being in the middle of the afternoon and you just... it's like you can't move. Your whole body's made out of sand, and just to get up and walk around was painful. It was just, the whole body hurt. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. Even if you go without sleeping, it's that same sort of sensation. And I remember touring near her school. She lived in a town outside of Bangkok, and we visited a huge Buddhist monastery shrine, and it was gorgeous. I mean, it was stunningly gorgeous, the architecture and what they could build. And walking with people from her school explaining to us how they had grown up Buddhist. And now that Christianity was being, you know, offered, how they were assimilating that, how they were thinking about what it meant for Jesus to love them unconditionally in light of having a Buddhist background. It was such a fascinating conversation. And I look back at that and I think, what a wonderful time in my life. We were only there a little over than a week, but I was just so thankful. And the food in Thailand was like, you know how when you travel, they say avoid street food? In Thailand, it's the opposite. Street food is where everybody eats. And it's incredibly safe and clean and cheap. At the time we traveled there, the exchange rate was $1 for 40 baht. That's their currency. And when you went out to eat street food, I remember getting a bowl of fried rice, and it was the most delicious fried rice I'd ever had. It had vegetables and shrimp, and they made it right in front of you. And you know what it cost me? 10 baht, 25 cents. for this huge meal. And I look back and I think, what just a wonderful time for me to learn about this culture so different than what I was used to, and see examples of Christianity bringing people together. But at the time, I felt terrible. I felt physically awful. I was like, oh, why did I come here? I think that's part of what it means to be a spiritual person. Sometimes our bodies suffer. Sometimes our bodies feel terrible. They're stricken with disease, with sicknesses, with ailments. And at the time, we can really feel quite terrible. But our souls, on the other hand, our souls can be strong and thriving. And the opposite is true. Sometimes we do things, we make choices to make ourselves feel better in the short term, and we look back on it and we think, oh gosh, I'm just so embarrassed. I'll give you an example of that. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to tell you something. It's not that bad. The other day, you know, I was up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. And you know what time of year it is right now, right? It's Girl Scout cookie time of year. And so there was a box of Girl Scout cookies on the kitchen counter. And I thought, well, I'll just have one. You know, one's not going to hurt. And one led to two. And two led to a row. And one row led to another row. And before I knew it, the box was gone. And it was so delicious. Gosh! You know, I woke up feeling kind of anxious, tossing and turning. When I ate those Girl Scout cookies, I felt fantastic for about 5 minutes. And then I had a stomachache, and I felt terrible. And now here I am telling you about it, and it's this funny, embarrassing story of, in the moment, my body felt great. Looking back on it, I knew it wasn't one of my finer moments. That's part of what it means to be a spiritual person. Our souls and our bodies are certainly connected, but at times there's tension, at times there's a conflict. And that helps us to understand how this morning in our lesson from Jesus in the gospel, how he talks about suffering. So they come up to Jesus and they ask him, did you hear about these Galileans who had their own blood mingled with their sacrifices? So what is that supposed to mean? Well, it's supposed to mean that a group of people had conducted a religious service that was not officially sanctioned, right? The temple was the only place where you could offer an animal sacrifice to God. It was strictly set up with rules, which animals, when you did them, the priests were there. So presumably you had a group of people in Galilee who just kind of started operating their own temple. And Herod dealt with it, as we read, by mingling their blood with their sacrifices. Pretty brutal way of governing. And so they ask Jesus what he thinks about this. And Jesus has some challenging words. He says, do you think that they're worse sinners than anybody else? No. But unless you repent, the same thing will happen to you. Okay, so they did something wrong religiously and politically. They made the powerful mad. Then Jesus goes on to give another example. He says, you heard of that tower that fell. A tower in Siloam, and 18 people were killed. And then again, he asked, do you think that they were greater sinners? Did they have it coming? And he says, no, they were not worse sinners than anybody else. And yet, unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. What Jesus means by this is that our bodies can suffer, sometimes just being at the wrong place at the wrong time, even if you didn't necessarily do something wrong. You were in that tower when the tower fell. you did a religious act that wasn't officially sanctioned, and the government came down hard on you. Neither one of those things seemed like they did something terribly wrong, and yet they suffered terribly for it. And Jesus says they weren't any worse than anybody else, but unless you repent, the same thing will happen to you. Jesus is telling us that we must repent. We must confess to God all of our sins, all of the things that we do that hurt others. Because what matters a whole lot more than whether our bodies suffer is the condition of our soul. Bodies exist for a period of time, and souls are forever. I'm sort of feeling a little bit like a Baptist preacher this morning. But it's the season of Lent, and this is what we got to do. It goes on to say this. Jesus says, he tells them this parable about the fig tree. Jesus says that there was a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and the fig tree would never produce fruit. And so the owner of the vineyard came and said, get rid of this fig tree. It's been 3 years and there's no fruit. Cut it down, plant some more vines, do something else. And the gardener pleads with the owner and he says, give me a little bit more time. I'm going to dig around the roots. I'm going to add manure and then we'll see if it bears fruit. Well, who is Jesus talking about in this parable? I think he's talking about himself. Because you know the timeline of Jesus, his ministry lasted exactly 3 years. And we know that at times Jesus was incredibly self-critical, thinking about when he was tempted by Satan to jump off the temple. He had a premonition, he had a knowing that his death was imminent. He was always living in that thin place between this world and the next. For Jesus, the greatest act of faith was to give his life. And we talk about the cross being the tree on which he was hung. And so this parable is about Jesus' death itself. And when the fig tree finally bears fruit, his ministry, he is the fruit on that tree. His very own body, his very own life, his very own faith is a gift for us. I read a very challenging book this past year called The Cross and the Lynching Tree. It would be a book study that if we ever wanted to do that, that would really challenge you. But it was one of the finest pieces of theological reading I've read in a long time, explaining the power of the cross. And in that book, reference is made to Billy Elliot. Billy Elliot, who sang a song called Strange Fruit. There's a movie coming out about her life. And the author of this book compares that to Jesus. Jesus is a strange fruit that hung from a tree to give us eternal life. So, of course, if Jesus, who is without sin, would die in such a way on a tree, it gives us pause and gives us humility to never judge anyone who dies. Because even our Savior died, giving his life, doing absolutely nothing wrong. We are called by Jesus to repent. Repent simply means to change. You know, I remember as a kid, St. Patrick's Day was a lot of fun growing up in Sedona, Arizona. It was a lot of fun because every year on St. Patrick's Day, or the Saturday closest to it, there'd be a parade. And if you've ever been to Sedona, you know there's not a lot of streets. So the St. Patrick's Day parade was on 89A, and they would shut down traffic on both ends of West Sedona. So during the St. Patrick's today, there's no getting in and there's no getting out because the parade is happening. Traffic is stopped on both ends of town. And I remember as a kid it being so fun because 89A was like the only highway you could walk on through town, and it was always full of cars. You know, it was five lanes, turning lane in the middle and two on either end. And when St. Patrick's Day came, you could walk in the street, you could run in the street, we would play in the street. And as you grew up as a kid, each year you'd be in the parade in a different way. I remember probably my first memory of being in the parade was being a Cub Scout. And we had our little Cub Scout float, and we all marched with our uniforms, and we had our St. Patrick's Day stuff. And then I remember being a little bit older and walking in the parade with AYSO soccer. And we had our soccer jerseys on, and we were walking in the parade. And then I remember getting a little bit older and being in the marching band, and the school's marching band, playing the trumpet, marching in the St. Patrick's Day parade. And then I remember getting a little bit older, being in high school, and we had a hiking and backpacking club, and we all put on our cool big backpacks, and we hiked through the parade. And when Jesus talks about repenting in the season of Lent, we should remember that there is tremendous joy and creativity in repenting. Repenting means changing things. A highway that's normally bustling with vehicles turns into a wide open place for children to play and to walk. Sure, it's different. Sure, it's a disruption to the routine, but it's full of joy. Where we were once centered around efficiency and getting things done, in the kingdom of God, we put children at the center of our existence. We put the vulnerable. We put those with so-called disabilities. We put those who are suffering from sicknesses. They become the center. They become those who are marching in the parade, and we are all around, all supporting, all of creation oriented toward caring for the least among these, those who need our love tremendously. That is what Jesus means by when he says, repent. And the greatest irony is that when we do that, when we follow Jesus on his path, when we put the vulnerable in the center of our existence, sometimes we are persecuted for it. Sometimes our bodies suffer. Sometimes our minds hurt. But our souls sing with joy. Our souls are intact. Our souls are prepared for heaven. You know, I told you a joke about heaven last week, so I'll follow it up with another joke this week. Once upon a time, there was a Lutheran who died and went to heaven. Wasn't a pastor, just a regular Lutheran. And when the Lutheran got to heaven, they got to go on a tour. St. Peter said, "Welcome to heaven. We're going to give you a tour so you can see, you know, all the different parts of heaven." So he said, "Come on, let's go." And so they start going on the tour. And the first stop they go to, it's the most beautiful coffee shop you've ever seen. It's got all the different kinds of coffee, lattes, cappuccinos, frappuccinos, coffee drinks you never heard of. And everyone in there is dressed very nice. All the men have on suits and ties. And the Lutheran says, "Well, what's going on here?" And they say, "Well, this is, you know, where the Mormons hang out. You know, they weren't allowed to have any caffeine in heaven or on earth. So now that they're in heaven, they all get to have caffeine and enjoy their coffee." And they're going, "Oh, okay, that's cool." And then they go a little bit later, and then everybody's dancing. Just dancing, all kinds of music, dancing close together, dancing, all kinds of stuff. And they said, "Well, what's happening here?" "Well, these are the Baptists. They said you couldn't dance, and now they get to dance in heaven because they weren't allowed to on earth." "Wow, that's great." They go a little bit further, right? And then, you know, it's like a bar. There's they're serving alcoholic beverages, and people are drinking them. And, you know, who's here? Well, it's all the different religions that wouldn't allow you to have alcohol. Now that they're up here, they get to, you know, have a drink or two and enjoy themselves. Oh, well, that's great. And they go to the last room, and everyone's just sitting around doing nothing. No coffee, no alcohol, no dancing, just hanging out. And the Lutheran says, "Who? What's this?" And St. Peter says, "These are the Lutherans. These are your people. You did everything already on earth because you knew you were saved by grace. So up here, that's it." Aww. But Isaiah tells us that God's kingdom is far greater than everything we could ever imagine. Wine and milk and food without price. A feast without end. A joy where all the different people are gathered together. This is the gift that is promised to us. And we are called to repent and to have faith. Amen.